to Adeniran, and Adeniran puts it home. Now it's Maloney breaking free. Maloney in alone. Maloney stopped by Blanchett. Adeniran keeps it alive. Sam Adeniran stopped by Blanchett. Gomez burns by Murad, puts it back stick. Adeniran takes a touch, it's deflected and in.
Welcome to Roots Pod, an audio production of Roots Blog and member of the Rootscast Broadcast Network. Once again, Aaron here with John and Peter, coming to you from a slightly cooler but still quite toasty Bay Area. Everyone, I hope, has made it through the preposterous heat wave we've had so far, made it through the worst of it okay, and is ready to talk about the Oakland Roots. Before we get there, though, I just have to share something that's been weighing on my mind a little bit the last couple of weeks. If you watch a lot of MLB TV, you'll know that they have four commercials total. And one which has been getting a lot more play recently is this totally inscrutable Nike commercial, which features a dance battle between one state champion from this high school who's supposed to be recognized and another that I guess shows up unexpectedly. I mean, it's truly a bizarre premise. But what gets me is that for a very brief moment, and this is never explained, for a very brief moment, this commercial features Anthony Robinson, the left back for the U.S. men's national team and Fulham Football Club. And it is not said that it's him. Like, I had to dig for a couple of days to figure out that it was actually him. I thought I was going nuts, but I can't figure out what he's doing in this commercial and why, now that he's in the commercial, he isn't like named. Like, if you're going to use a professional athlete, why wouldn't you say that? Because I'm sure the number of people, let's say the proportion of people watching this commercial who are going to be able to identify Anthony Robinson on site has got to be pretty low. I mean, not everyone is a degenerate like myself. But it's just, it blows my mind. And I wanted to share that because I tell my Roots dog that, and she doesn't respond at all. So I just needed to say that to someone who also understands who Anthony Robinson is.
Seems like failed community outreach there.
Roots dog just actually doesn't recognize Anthony Robinson and thinks you're just crazy.
Well, for a new reason now. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Oakland, I guess we can say now, if they don't have Jose Hernandez or Otar Magnus Carlson, is probably not winning the USL Cup. I think that's the lesson that we're going to take from this past weekend's 1-0 loss against San Antonio FC, who is leading the Western Conference, and who I would put good money on as perhaps the favorites to take the whole thing at the end of the year. It wasn't a great performance, but we're missing one really key guy for 90 minutes and another for 45. It was maybe as good as it could have been under the circumstances. I don't know. John, what did you think?
Yeah, we kind of saw the impact right away with Otar in the second half. I thought it was peculiar to leave him off in the first half, only to bring him in the first minute of the second. But I think we also saw just how effective Jose Hernandez is in the midfield there. I mean, without him, just that connectivity seems a little low. That's not to say that Nane had a bad game or Mati had a bad game. I thought Nane had some good moments, but he's just that engine really in the middle of the park that can turn the defense into offense and go forward and still provide that stability in the middle there. So without him, I thought we really saw, you know, a key cog out of there, and it had a big impact. That being said, you know, San Antonio mostly dominated the whole first half. It's hard to think of clear opportunities in the first half. Rito was credited with a big chance missed, although I thought that was a little bit generous just for how close he was to the net and Jordan Farr. Maybe they saw Mikkel Janssen storming kind of center there with a wide open net, and Rito didn't make the pass. But yeah, I thought that was generous to call it a big chance missed. Most of the opportunities came in the second, and they looked a lot better in the second, and we saw the direct impact of what Otar does on the field just to stretch the pitch there.
Yeah, it's not much to say to the Roots' credit that they, you know, because they did lose 2-0, but they didn't concede for a 79-minute period. And that's not terrible. But, you know, I think that what John is saying about Jose Hernandez is absolutely correct. I don't know that I necessarily buy it would have made any difference in this game. I think, you know, maybe that offensive engine allows the Roots to make this game more 50-50, or maybe it means that San Antonio completely trounces them. You know, that the two defensive midfielders prevented this from being humiliating, and or we all leave for the bar at the 30th minute.
Well, you know, I was, speaking of members of the U.S. men's national team, I was thinking about Oakland on Tuesday morning while watching Chelsea and Christian Pulisic lose to Dinamo Zagreb, because they play a 3-4-3, rely a lot on wingers, on their wingbacks to provide width. And when N'Golo Kanté is not in the lineup, the forwards, other than the striker, are just anonymous. And first of all, it's hilarious that no one at the Chelsea Football Club seems to have picked up that they keep firing managers only because N'Golo Kanté is hurt. Like, you know, it's not the manager's fault. I'm sure they're going to rebound this year just because that guy's going to come back and he's one of the best midfielders in the world. But I was thinking about it because it reminded me a lot of the problems that we sometimes see with Oakland's attack. When you don't have a ball-playing, progressive midfielder in there, not a lot's going on. You know, you're relying heavily on the wingbacks, on Azokad and Rito. And, you know, that's a lot for two guys, a lot of offensive responsibility for those two guys to shoulder on their own. Rito especially looks the last few games like maybe, you know, the minutes in his legs are running out. Perhaps, you know, it's just a function of we've seen three really good defenses recently, but he has not put together the quality of performance recently that we saw earlier in the season. And, you know, once you get someone in the back in the midfield like Jose Hernandez, and I think actually I want to see Mikael Janssen next to Hernandez in the midfield. It's screwed having a defensive midfielder for the rest of the season. Like, put those two guys in the midfield because that's how the offense is going to work. And I mean, it just did not work on Saturday against San Antonio. And it was the lack of someone in there pushing the ball up the pitch through the middle was really noticeable.
We're talking about a lot of changes here, but I think that I'm somewhat intrigued by your idea of putting Hernandez and Janssen in the midfield. For one thing, a draw is as bad as a loss for the Roots right now. 1 point does not do shit. Okay. But on top of that, like, if you're worried about defensive solidity, I would replace Asokar with Diaz and take off a center back. And if you need to keep Azokar on the field, which I think is a perfectly reasonable position, make him a forward.
Yeah.
So ultimately, I guess what you're doing is you're moving an attacking midfielder in Janssen to be a central midfielder. You're sacrificing an attacking midfielder to make them a left-sided forward. And then you're playing a 4-4-2 or a 4-2-3-1, whichever. But either way, I mean, I think you're right. We're still probably talking about the San Antonio game. We don't have to get into our tactical fantasies, but
I mean, we also shouldn't talk about this San Antonio game for too long. That was, you know, it's the performance you expect out of the team that's leading the West, basically, against a team that is a fringe playoff squad right now. You know, and which was missing two key players. Like, this was not the time to go up against San Antonio. It's too bad because they did start to look, you know, in the second half, they started to look like maybe they could have could have created something. There were a couple of half chances, but it seemed, even when Oakland had really grown into the game, like they needed two or three touches on the ball every time it came to them, and San Antonio wasn't going to give them more than one. And kudos to San Antonio for that. I mean, that takes a lot of focus and discipline to do that for 90 minutes, and they did. They just did not let Oakland get a sniff of what they wanted to do.
Shout out Thomas Tuchel. Maybe he didn't look owner in the eye, got fired. Shout out Graham Potter as well. He didn't leave Brighton with 8 matches left in the season. But anyway, I thought Charlie Dennis looked okay in the midfield. I think at the start of the season, I more so expected Dennis to play as a midfield role, kind of holding and sending passes in. We saw that on a couple occasions. He had one of the best looks in the game. I think it was the 65th, had a shot on target, received a long pass from Blanchett. So, I mean, I don't think we'll see him there. I mean, maybe. We never know. I also maybe would have liked Lindo in that Jose replacement role. But, hey, it's just guessing at this point.
And that seems to me like an even bigger defensive risk than Janssen there. Because, I mean, Mofeka is a number 10. You know, he's not even really a box-to-box midfielder, much less a defensive midfielder. And I don't know that he holds the ball well enough for that position, because that's the other thing, right? Is you have to be able to fend off other midfielders there. But, Mofeka looks to me still like he's working back from this injury. And I don't know. I was glad to see him, and I didn't think he looked like a weakness in the squad, but I didn't think it was perfect either.
So let's move on from the game for 1 second, away from soccer for just a couple of seconds. The one thing I thought that became very obvious when Mark in favor of a new stadium was this was a very well-attended soccer match, even by Oakland Roots standards. And it kind of overwhelmed the security. And, you know, I assume that the Roots are sort of hamstrung by the location, by Laney's policies and whatnot. But, you know, it was not working on Saturday. It's not the first time it hasn't worked either. Like, you know, it's been sitting in the supporter section all season long, and you see people trickling in through the 20th minute. And I just thought, you know, oh, okay, people don't understand. You got to get here early. But really, it's that if you don't show up more than half an hour before the game, you're not getting in on time. But one benefit of a new stadium might be a much, much improved security setup. And maybe we can also talk about what in the world that clear bag policy is, because I don't think anyone who is subject to it or enforcing it really understands at this point in time. But that's neither here nor there. We only have two home matches left, right? So there's not nearly enough time to work out those kinks at this point. But you mentioned earlier, Peter, a draw is as good as a loss at this point. We have mentioned on past pods, 7th and 8th spots in the league, 6th and 7th spots, excuse me, are not running away from Oakland, but the bottom is coming up fast, and it's here. Oakland has now been passed in the table by Monterey Bay and RGV Toros. And, I mean, thank God we're not going to have a stretch nearly as difficult as these last three matches, because they have got to start putting together some results if they're going to make the playoffs.
We're allowed to cheer for Monterey Bay in the playoffs, right? I mean, like, fuck Sacramento forever, but we're obligated to cheer for Monterey Bay.
I feel like obligated might be a strong word, but we should. I'm not opposed to cheering for Monterey Bay.
At least for Kai Green.
Yeah. Well, and RGV for Akeem Ward, right?
Shout out to Akeem Ward, always liking my tweets.
Bring him back. I swear to Gata's gone. It's safe. Bring him home.
Hey, I think Kai Green's under a 1 year as well. You never know. He did say some interesting things in a brief interview with Monterey Bay, very brief words about his time in Oakland, which was very deliberate. But who knows? Maybe if we do get a coach, I don't think that's a far-fetched thought, especially with Hakeem Ward. He still reaches out to the supporters groups.
John, I'm going to need you to be less coy about what Kai Green said, because I am not following you.
You can find his interview on Monterey Bay's website. All he said was, I had a time in Oakland. It was very interesting, and I'll leave it at that.
Of all the times he's ever had, his time in Oakland was one of them.
It was one of them, yeah.
His time in Oakland, I thought he was arguably the best defender there. We all thought it was peculiar to move on from him, knowing that it's a back three.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, to be fair, it wasn't at the time. We did run out of back four the first three matches of the season to horrendous effect, but that was clearly the original plan.
So let's talk more details, more specifics about these playoffs.
I wrote down what everybody is playing for the remainder of the season. It's going to be tight, man. For what, Roots have six matches left. We arguably have to take Phoenix, have to take New York, have to take Hartford, and then you have Colorado, Birmingham, Pittsburgh, which are tough. So you wonder, you hope you can take one or two or three points from those. And that would
hopefully Colorado is not playing for anything at that point. I mean, Colorado Springs is they've gotten enough to get into the playoffs. You know, they're safe now. They probably are not going to get a match at home, and 6 and 7 don't seem interested in challenging them. So maybe they're not going to have anything to play for.
They have an 8-point lead on Sac. I mean, Sac has a game in hand, but Colorado could well have their first game at home.
Well, never mind. Forget everything that I just said.
I mean, but at that point,
perhaps that's not that they're stuck in fifth. It's that they're stuck in fourth. Maybe that's what.
But at your point, you know, that if Colorado has nothing to play for, you know, they still have teams on this list. You know, RGV has them. RGV has Charleston. So if Colorado's taking it easy, you know, that's 6 points right there. And they also have New Mexico, Phoenix, Monterey Bay. Louisville and Memphis will be tougher. But you have to hope that of those, they only take Charleston. El Paso has 4 matches left. They have LA, Tampa Bay, Colorado, OC. But I think El Paso might make the bid. Las Vegas, Monterey Bay, Hartford, San Diego, New Mexico, Miami, LA. Hartford's an obvious win there. San Diego, New Mexico are tough. And then the other three are kind of toss-ups.
Yeah, that's a lot of what you might call 6-pointers. There are a lot of chances for no one to make any progress if there's a god, if there's a sports god.
Soccer gods, yeah. Come to Oakland.
Looking at this weekend directly, I got to say RGV Toros hosting New Mexico United is your Roots Blog lock of the week for a 1-1 with at least a red card and no one enjoys the game.
This is actually, this could be an interesting week all around. You've got that one, and then later Orange County, LA Galaxy 2, Lights in Monterey Bay. That'll be fun. And then our match, away to Phoenix Rising, which is, that's a spicy one, everyone. That is a spicy one. I'm sure everyone is looking forward to this. Phoenix has 1 win and 2 losses since our erstwhile head coach took over there. So I don't know what it is about Oakland that he's not getting any draws down there. It's infuriating, but 1 win and 2 losses, not the greatest run of form. They also lost, I think, Darnell King to a red card in their last match, which is, I think, a good thing because King might be the reason that Rito has been neutralized recently. I think it was Darnell King who was the first person to say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about beating you down the pitch. I'm just going to make sure that you don't have any way to cut inside. You don't have any passing lanes inside open. And you know, that was one of Rito's worst games to that point. And I think that strategy has been replicated in subsequent matches by some of these other teams. So I think it's good that he's not going to be on the pitch, although it appears that Phoenix has rostered Hayden Sargis, formerly of Sacramento Republic, for this match, which is really annoying. Like, I don't understand why you can, why you get to do that 80% of the way through the season, if that rumor is in fact true. So that's annoying. But this, I think, given the circumstances surrounding this game, this is one where you can just throw everything out the window. Like, this is going to be, I got to imagine that Oakland is going to be up for it. These guys are going to be locked in, because I'm sure, regardless of the how good their relationships were with the manager, I can't believe they are excited about the way in which he left. I just, you know, that was so abrupt and happening midseason too. That's got to leave a sour taste in your mouth.
Surely the players want to win this game more beyond its playoff implications. I got to say, this is also the Roots matchup against the only team whose fan base I feel like surpasses the Roots fan base in Twitter shitposting.
They're pretty good at it. It's true.
You know, even the other teams that have strong online presences, they're so concerned about, like, Ernest posting about the importance of soccer and what it means to the community and all of this other, you know, shit that our club really cares about. But I feel like we're mostly in this for the memes.
I know I am.
Hey, I mean, you know that the players have a chip on their shoulder going into this match. I mean, that was the feedback I got exactly from people at the club the day after Juan left, was people are pissed the fuck off. They want to beat him, you know, regardless of Juan being on the sidelines or not. And, you know, he's going to be in the stadium somewhere in where they put the executives. So, I mean, this is a lot of implications going on. And that being said, with Phoenix having community outreach, yeah, they did not stand up for Roe versus Wade. I like to point that out. So, yeah, they have a drawback there.
Well,
I think Bobby Dooley is kind of a douchebag. And he really fought for his job with this hire of Juan. I mean, this is his last gasp, really. If it doesn't work out, I think you'll for sure see a GM move in their front office.
In other matches that you were talking about for this weekend, Orange County, LA Galaxy, spicy for stadium reasons.
Oh, stadium, it's so true. There's a lot of off-the-field stuff that'll be at stake on the field. I don't know if anyone else has been, any of our loyal listeners out there have been following this, but LA Galaxy have tried to push Orange County Soccer Club out of Championship Soccer Stadium in what's it? No. Yeah. Championship Soccer Stadium in Great Park or something.
I love giving them shit about that, but like Orange County SC should keep playing in that stadium. Yeah. It's, I only have six or seven jokes.
if they are forced to move, I hope they are able to take the orb with them wherever they go. I know it's an Orange County thing, not an Orange County Soccer Club thing, but I really feel like, again, for the meme purposes, they should be allowed to bring the orb with them.
100%. The way that orb menacingly lurks in the background of those games, it's critical to the experience. Other spicy matchup this weekend that I think John mentioned is Las Vegas Lights hosting Monterey Bay, which is, you know, like the trashiest team in the league hosting the most disconcertingly wholesome team in the league with major playoff implications for our second favorite team, Monterey Bay.
And our first favorite team, Oakland Roots.
Right. Well, okay, sure. Whatever.
Let's not write us off yet.
And please can't beat LA. And how hilarious would that be if they got kicked out of the stadium and then the orb just randomly ends up missing?
Okay, look. if the orb goes missing, I'm begging Roots Pod listeners to not report me. I had nothing to do with that.
Obviously, none of us would ever dare step foot in Irvine, not intentionally, at least.
We're gonna steal it by air.
It's a hot air balloon, right? We'll just sort of hijack it when it's up there.
Imagine that I'm doing an impression of Werner Herzog saying, "I would like to see the orb." If I could see Sacramento Republic follow up their humiliating loss to Orlando City with a humiliating loss to Loudoun United, I'd take it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the worst thing that's ever happened. You guys got anything else you want to mention on this one?
I could clarify that the Wendy's, our Wendy's sponsorship is limited only to matches in which the Roots opponent receives a red card during their match with Oakland.
John's out here making promises that Peter can't keep. John's just going to be randomly giving away Peter's money for the rest of the year. Also, we should have enforced this. Even if you abscond and break the sacred bond we're creating here and go to a different fast food restaurant, we still need a picture of the food.
We do need a picture of the food.
We need a picture of the food, and perhaps in time there will be a new tab on the blog.
Need a selfie with the bag.
Well, here's hoping that there is a red card against Phoenix this weekend, among, you know, many goals conceded by the Rising and not as many conceded by the Roots. I think that's what I'm hoping for this weekend. Up the Roots.